Okay, welcome everyone again to all those here in person and on Zoom. And I'm going to try to be a bit more mindful of those on Zoom to be turning the pages properly. But please forgive me if I'm not turning the pages at the same time. I am going to, it's just so much easier to learn from real notes.
If you want to make me a co-host, I can do the page if you want.
Oh.
That's easier for you.
One second. I have to stop sharing. No, leave it. I'll, 1 second, because then I have to stop saying participants.
They need to send me the page as well, so don't.
Oh, leave it then. Just leave it. Okay, we'll do that for tomorrow, perhaps. Okay. I'm also going to be sitting today, just a little bit easier for those on screen to be able to follow along. I understand that we're looking at the bottom of my beard yesterday, so this might be somewhat easier. So yesterday we looked more at the Agadita part, but I think it was an important part to look at about Nisamu b'nei b'seira, ho halacha, and how Hillel became the Nasi, and the different approaches to that. And we started getting into the piece of the Mishnah and the Gemara that deals with Erev Pesach that falls out in Shabbos with regards to getting rid of the Chometz. And it seemed somewhat confusing. And we looked at the Rambam and the Ravid. Let's make a very brief summary of that part. And just let's just read the Mishnah pretending we don't know anything. Okay? Mishnah on the top of page 2. The Mishnah in Psachim Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph says as follows. Arba Asar Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. 14 falls out in Shabbos. Mevarin Es HaKol Melifnei HaShabbos. Get rid of everything before Shabbos. What does that sound like? Everything. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim Omrim. Chachamim say Bizmanoi. Get rid of it in its right time. Rabbi Lozabat Tzadik says, Truma melifne ha-Shabbos. Truma, you've got to get rid of before Shabbos. And the reason we understand is because Truma, there's not going to be other people to eat it. So Truma, you get rid of before Shabbos. V'chulin, it's on the top of page 2.
On top of page,
okay. You got it? V'chulin bizmanon, and chulin, regular food, and that's what's most relevant for us over here. Chulin bizmanon, chulin in its proper time, which means on Shabbos itself. Yeah, I've got copies here. Chulin in its proper time. And the halacha we know is like Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok, which would seem to be the truma you get rid of on the 13th, which, by the way, today is the 14th. So exactly 3 months from today, this will all be very relevant, okay? Because it will be Erev Pesach. So Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok says truma on before Shabbos on the 13th, chulin in the regular time on Shabbos itself. Not like what we're doing, because we work with chulin, right? Let's go to the Gemara, Psachim Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Tanya, I'm just skipping the Bar Tanura, which we looked at yesterday. The Braisa says as follows: Arba Asar Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. 14 falls out on Shabbos. Bevarin Es HaKol Melifnei Shabbos. We get rid of everything before Shabbos. But which everything? V'sorfin Trumos Tmeos Tluyos V'Tahoros. We burn all the Trumos. The trumas that are tomei, the trumas that are tohar, the trumas that are possible this, possible that. We're not sure what it is. Which, by the way, in the dinim of truma is very complicated. It's always more complicated to be in a sofek than to be in a than to be definite. Mishairin minat tohoros mazon shtei seudos, and we leave from that which is tohar enough food for two meals: Friday night meal and Shabbos day meal. Okay, kedei lecho ad arba shoyos, in order to be able to eat it until the 4 hours. Dibre Rabbi Lozar bar ben Yehuda ish bar Toisa she'om mishum Rabbi Yeshua. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lozar ben Yehuda ish bar Toisa, said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's actually the halacha. The halacha is like him. Now, the simplest way to read that is as follows: when he said mevarin es hakol melifne haShabbos, we get rid of everything before Shabbos, it's like there's a colon right after that, and this is all talking about the context is truma. And in fact, when you learn that Gemara, that's part of the beginning of the complex Gemara. It's all talking about truma. That's what it seems like. So, mevarin es hakol, get rid of everything before Shabbos, colon. What do we mean by everything? We mean all kinds of trumas. Whether the truma is tahar, whether the truma is tamei, whether the truma is tolin, whether we're not sure what it is. We get rid of everything. And we leave over from the pure truma, shtei seudos, two meals, until we're able to eat, until 4 hours. Hold on, what about chulin? What about regular food? So this is all just talking about truma food. What about chulin food? It's not addressed. It would seem that chulin food, we don't have to burn before. We don't get rid of before. We get rid of it on Shabbos. Now these things match together. Rabbi Loza Ish Bar Tosa and Rabbi Loza Bar Tzadok, who said that Truma you get rid of. Remember, back to the top of the page. Rabbi Loza Bar Tzadok said Truma you get rid of before Shabbos. That's exactly what we're saying over here. You get rid of everything before Shabbos, no matter what kind of Truma. And Chulin Bizmanon and Chulin in its proper time. What do you leave over for the meals? You leave over, it says the Truma you got to leave over for two meals. But when do you get rid of the Chulin? On Shabbos itself. That's what it sounds like, right? When you read the simple Gemara. But look how the Rambam says. The Rambam's the first one. So you have a question? Sure.
Because to me, the mission, like the brosa, maybe I'm reading it a bit too, you know, but whatever. But like, you know, it's saying, "Varen et hakol mifnei Shabbos." You burn everything, and then like I wouldn't read it with a colon because that vav seems to like, and the sofin seems to imply that it's.
So that is in fact how the Beis Yosef will read it. Exactly as you're saying. But the issue with it is that then it doesn't really match with the Mishnah, which the Mishnah in Daf Mem Pes. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, we know the halachas like him. The Gemara establishes the halacha like him. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok says, Truma melifna Shabbos. Okay, Truma, that's all before Shabbos. Bavarin akol. They must be talking about the Truma. Bechulin bizmanon. You see, there's a contradiction then. But watch how the Beis Yosef explains it. And that's exactly the point that the Raiva picks up on the Rambam. So the Rambam says, how do we actually do things? And now this is the first important source for how we practically do things. The Rambam says, Chol Arba Soliyos B'Shabbos, Boikinis HaChomets B'Leila Erev Shabbos. When 14th falls on the Shabbos, we check for the Chomets on the night before, night of the 13th. Shulel Shlosha. So Maniach Min HaChomets G'day Lechom M'Meno Ad Arba Shois B'Yom HaShabbos. And we leave Chomets, so we leave chametz to be able to eat until 4 hours into Shabbos, the end of the zman of eating chametz. Manicha b'mokem mutzna, and you put it into a concealed in a place where it's not going to be taken. V'ashar mevaru milifna Shabbos. Everything else you get rid of before Shabbos. The Rambam is not talking about truma. The Rambam is telling us what to do today. V'mnisha min chametz b'yom Shabbos achar arba shoyz. Then the Rambam says, if you've got any chametz left over after 4 hours, mevatloi v'koyfal lo kli. Put an bimavato the chametz, which means that you cancel out any ownership of the chametz. Kochamiro v'chamiro, anything that I've seen doesn't belong to me. That's what you do on Shabbos. And then he says, "Bekoifalav kli ad motzi yomtov," and you put something on it until motzi yomtov, or until motzi yomtov berishon, until after yomtov, and then umavara, and then you get rid of it over there. That's the law generally of someone who finds chametz in the house on yomtov. What do you do is that you cover it up. What we'll talk about today, you can actually flush it down the toilet, but you cover it up, and we'll learn machlokes about flushing down the toilet. The Chazon Ish says you can't flush it down the toilet, but we'll see later on that's talking about the toilets in their days where actually it was still staying within your courtyard. It wasn't being totally sent into the sewage system outside of your property all the way. But that we'll learn later on. So the Rambam clearly understands that when it comes to chametz, any kind of chametz, doesn't matter whether it's truma, doesn't matter whether it's chulin, what you do is that you've got to completely, you burn it all, well, get rid of it, you check for the chametz, you get rid of it on the 13th, and you leave enough for your meals for Shabbos. On Shabbos, you mevatel the chametz before the zman, and we'll see why you have to do that. Mevatel the chametz before the zman. If you find any other chametz, you've got to put an object over it so that you're not going to come to eat it, because it's not yours, because you were mevatel it, but you got to put an object over it, and then you get rid of it, you burn it after Yom Tov. The Ravid jumps up and down. Says the Ravid, Omer Avram, Harav Zal loy kosav kain elu b'truma. He says, this was only written with regards to truma. Hushim avayru mashayr. That's what you have to get rid of, and you leave over. Avo b'chulin, but with chulin, einam avayr klum elu b'zmanoy. Says with chulin, you've got to get rid of it only in its right time. As with the simple reading of the Gemara and even more simple reading of the Mishnah, like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, the Tavaris Firulei Dahadodi, they both hold the same thing. They both say the same thing. Let's read it again. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok Oimer, Truma Melifnei Shabbos, Truma, that you get rid of before Shabbos, V'chulin Bizmanon, Chulin in its time. Seems to be that all chulin, all your chametz things, that you can get rid of in its time. You don't need to get rid of it beforehand. So he disagrees fundamentally with the whole process of getting rid of chametz, checking for the chametz the night before, and all that kind of thing. Get rid of the chametz on Yud Gimel. We're going to see how the Beis Yosef solves it. It's going to explain it quite simply, based on the way that you said it and the reading of the Gemara, but he's going to have to explain it in the wording of this Mishnah as well. But when you learn halacha and anything, you have to go back to the Torah. The Torah is really the source of the organization of halacha. The way that we have the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch Chaim, Yerideya, Evin Ezer, Choshen Mishpat, that's all organized by the Torah. The Torah is a very, very underrated book. In fact, the whole Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch developed from the Torah, because the Shulchan Aruch is a synopsis of the Piskei Dinim, which Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote from his commentary, probably the greatest work in Jewish literature, the Beis Yosef, on the entire Shulchan Aruch. But he wrote it as a commentary on the Torah, and he showed where the halachas were coming from. And then, that took him many, many years. Anyone know how long it took him to write the Beis Yosef? 20 years to write it, another 14 years to review it, to before he published it, so 34 years. How long did it take him to write the Shulchan Aruch? Just over a year. The entire Shulchan Aruch was written towards the end of his life. But that was only just over a year. And the reason you can understand it, even though that's an incredible feat, but still, you can understand because the Shulchan Aruch is just a kitzur of the main halachas that he's coming to. I shouldn't say just a kitzur. So we're going to go to the Torah, look at the Beis Yosef, and then we'll go into the Shulchan Aruch and see the Mishnah Berurah and some of the other very relevant shailas that come up. So the Torah writes as follows. When the 14th falls out on Shabbos, we check for the Chometz on the night of the 13th. We get rid of everything before Shabbos. We leave over enough food for two meals for Shabbos. What about the third meal? The Su'udah Gimel, the third meal. Zmano achar hamincha. Suda shlishis is meant to be done after mincha. Here's the problem. V'oz ani yochol asoyso aloi b'matzah v'aloi b'chometz. You can't do it not with matzah, not with chometz. Chometz you can't do it with. Why not? Because chometz, the zman for chometz ends already 4 hours into the day. For sure, chatzos, for sure you're not allowed to have any chometz midaraisa, you're not allowed to have. So in the afternoon you can't have any chometz. Talking about on Shabbos afternoon. What are you going to do? Why can't you have matzah? So we know that the Gemara says, come based on a brayso, it says, kol ha'oichol matzah be'erev Pesach, anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, is keboyo arusoso be'beis chomiv. You're just learning about Bikas Erusin, right? It's like someone who has relations with his, shouldn't say engaged, the woman he's about to marry, he's about to live with, in the house of his father-in-law. What does that mean? It's a bit of a crazy comparison. But the idea is that you can wait just a few hours and you'll be able to do it beheter in a way of a mitzvah. Why do it now in a way where it's not a mitzvah? Which means the Chachamim really wanted us to eat the matzah on the night of Pesach b'te'oven with an appetite wanting to eat the matzah. And therefore, there's a prohibition to eat matzah beforehand. Now, how long beforehand? This is going to be very important for many things that we're going to look at over here. How long beforehand? The main din is the day itself, the daytime. That extends to the night before. There are people who are makbid already from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There are people who are makbid a whole month before. What's going to be the nafkamina? Massive nafkaminas. What happens if you don't have any chametz to eat on the night on Erev Pesach? So Friday night, it's Erev Pesach, and you have to have your Shabbos meal, but you don't have any chametz. So what should you do? Can you eat matzah then? The only thing that you have in your house is matzah. What do you do? So we'll see a discussion in the poskim. Should you have the matzah? On the one hand, it's the nighttime. The nighttime isn't like the daytime. The main mitzvah is not to have the chometz during the daytime hours. But this is the nighttime. But the daytime itself, let's just say that I can't have the matzah then. But let's just say that I've got only one loaf of bread, I've got one challah, and I need to do lechem mishnah. So can I use a matzah to join together with that? Is the matzah considered muktzah or not? Because I can't have it on the day. Well, look at this. These are interesting shailas which come up with this whole thing. But the din is anyway that you're not allowed to have matzah on Erev Pesach. So you can't have matzah. You can't have chometz because it's the afternoon. So what are you going to have? So what should you do for Suda Shlishis? Straight away. Again, this is the source of the halacha, and we'll see this in the Shulchan Aruch as well. He says, "V'toyv la'soisa." That's why it says you always leave over for only two meals. V'toyv la'soisa. The proper way to do it is beperos with fruit. So do it with fruit. V'rabeinu tam hoyonoyeg. So that meal, so the shlishi says, "Yeah, you do with fruit." Rabbeinu tam hoyonoyeg. Rabbeinu tam here the custom la'soisa b'matzo ashira to do it with matzo ashira shiniloisha b'meperos which had been kneaded with fruit juice. Now those doing the daf will know that this is a big daf yomi. This is actually relevant right now. The Gemara has been talking about this whole concept of matzo ashira. Let's talk about matzo ashira just for a moment because it's going to be important over here. What is matzo ashira? So the din is that technically speaking, the only matzah that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach is the matzah that you're yotze the chiyuv of achilas matzah on the night of Pesach. Which matzah are you yotze the chiyuv of achilas matzah? The matzah has to be lechem oini, right? Poor man's bread. What is poor man's bread? Literally flour and water. That's what it is. Flour and water. But there's another kind of matzah which is called matzah ashira. Literally means the wealthy matzah. Matzah that isn't so poor. What is that? That's matzah that is made with fruit juices, with wine. Instead of using water, use wine, use oil, use different kind of things to put it in over there. Now, there's a whole discussion. So matzah shira, you don't fulfill your obligation on the night of the Seder. Therefore, technically, you can eat matzah ashira on egg matzah or whatever. Sometimes, according to most people, egg matzah is matzah ashira. You can have egg matzah on Erev Pesach, technically. Now, here's the problem. Here's the issue. And is that the Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Ramah says in Tof Samach Beis, he says the minug of Ashkenazim is not to make matzah ashira. In fact, even in the Gemara itself, there's a machlokas. The halacha is that it's fine to make matzah ashira, but he says our minug is not to make, it's not to use matzah ashira on Pesach, because we're worried that it has that people will put in just a little bit of water, and there might be water there, and they may not even realize. And we're very makbid not to have matzah ashira in any way, not even to make it beforehand and to leave it, because people think that it's for sure not a problem. Again, so
might
the
be
sorry
might be
chametz because again, fruit juice doesn't rise. There's an opinion in the Gemara that it rises quicker than anything else, but the halacha is that it doesn't rise. It doesn't become chametz. However, people might make it with a little bit of water inside as well. And there might be some water there. As soon as there's a little bit of water, a drop of water, that already, people are not going to be careful of it. Why would you be careful about it to bake it quickly and to, because it doesn't rise, so there's no issue. And therefore the minhag of Ashkenazim is not to have it. But interestingly, it says, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, the Torah says, what you do is that you do it with Sura Shlishis, you have your Shalashudas having fruit. However, he says, Rabbeinu Tam, who was Ashkenazi, of course, Rabbeinu Tam, he would have it with matzo ashira. That is the Rabbeinu Tam that he's referring to is a very interesting Rabbeinu Tam. It's an interesting Tosfos. In the beginning of the Perek Arvei Psochim, where the Gemara is telling us about on Erev Pesach, from 9 or 9.5 hours into the day, you're not allowed to eat, you shouldn't have a meal. Because you have to be able to eat the matzah with an appetite. We're talking about any kind of meal. So Rabbeinu Tam asks the following question. He says, why do you need the Mishnah to tell me that I'm not allowed to eat? What can I eat? What is there to eat? I can't eat matzah. I can't eat chametz because already it's after this month. I can't eat matzah because it's Erev Pesach. You don't need matzah anyway. So what is the Mishnah telling us? They're 9.5 hours into the day. From then onwards, you're not allowed to have anything. And he says, you're not allowed to eat. Well, fruit in that is not considered eating. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you can't eat matzah ashira. Because matzah ashira you can have throughout the day. And he says, not only that, but I make, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, I make my Sura Shlishis using matzah ashira. So we know from there, it's like just very parenthetic, but we know from there that Rabbeinu Tam used matzah ashira. However, again,
the Ashkenazi shouldn't be concerned for the Ramah.
Sorry? Well, the Ramah comes long after him, right?
Doesn't the Ramah come from him?
The Ramah doesn't come from him. Doesn't paskin everything based on just Rabbeinu Tam. He'll paskin things based on the Rosh and other other poskim, but the Maril and others. But it's um, but it's um, but it's not, yeah, so it's not only based on that, but he's also writing it as one of the Rishonim. It's not passing the halacha all the way. I mean, we have many different things where the Sephardim Dafka do like we have a number of things. We had just with Neres Chanukah, I don't want to go into that, but we have with the Mechaber Paskins like Tosfos, and the Ramah Paskins like the Rambam with regards to how we light the menorah. But anyway, so he says, carries on, he says, V'chein hoire Rashi. And this is what Rashi instructed to do what? Not to do like Rabbi Natan. Rashi instructed, Levayer akol lifnei Shabbos, to get rid of everything before Shabbos. Ulishayim mozon beis udos, and to leave over enough food for two meals. V'lo lecho matzah, don't eat matzah. K'dei sheyoicha oisa b'laylo lete'ovon, so that in the night time you eat it with an appetite, and that's the din. Now it carries on and says, another thing from Rashi, here's an interesting thing. When you learn Rashi, when you learn the Gemara, Rashi's just a commentator. However, when you start to learn the Tur, you see that Rashi is actually the source of many, many minhagim in the way that we actually do things. We know that Rashi had a famous Talmud called, known as a sefer called Machzor Vitri, who is a Talmud of Rashi. And he writes, and there are many different things of our minhagim and how we do things based on Rashi. So while Rashi is a commentator on the game, not an umpire in the game, unlike the Rambam, who is the Apoisek, but many of the things that we actually do, when you start to learn, when you learn the Torah, you see that Rashi is brought as not that he's coming to give Piskei Dinim, but many minhagim of how we do things is based on Rashi. So Rashi says as follows, another thing, this also comes from Rashi, V'toyv levayer be'erev Shabbos kodem chatzos. Ah, new thing also. So, now Erev Shabbos, can I burn my chametz any time during the day? Technically, yes. I'm eating chametz. I can eat chametz throughout the day, right? It's Erev Shabbos. It's not Erev Pesach. Nonetheless, said Rashi, we still will burn our chametz that we have, besides for that which we need for our meals. We burn it and we get rid of it before chatzos, before midday. Rise that. Afal bishim utalach chatzos. Even though that it's permitted after chatzos, the reason is, shelo yavoyu ulitos b'shar hashanim, so that we shouldn't come to get mistaken in other years. You know what's going to happen? The following years, people are going to say, oh, I remember last year we went to the rabbi's house at 4 in the afternoon and we burnt our chametz. So I don't think it's a problem, right? People can make any kind of comparison. Therefore, said Shashon Levar Acha Chatzos, so we are Meshabbos Yivatol. And therefore, we do it. We burn Dafka before Chatzos, and we are Mevato on Shabbos itself. Because again, you're continuing to have it from it. Therefore, you're able to Mevato it just then. I'll tell you something funny of how people can learn things. People can see things. A number of years ago, I remember I was at home in South Africa growing up, and we opened up our Pesach cupboard. And we found this box of matzah that we'd put away the previous year. We'd actually sealed it, but when we opened up the cupboard, we found that it was wormy, that there were bugs inside. Don't know how, because we actually vacuum packed it, but it still wasn't good. And so we decided, look, we're burning the chametz, so we'll burn matzahs. We'll just get rid of this box as well. We'll throw it into the big fire, right? So we went to our shul, we're busy burning it. And the people who was there, for them was probably made, people were Balei Tshuva, for them was the first time, the second time. And these people were watching us. The following year, a guy shows up to burning the chametz with a nice fresh box of matzah. Thought that, you know what, you get rid of, this is part of the process of burning the chametz, is that you've also got to burn some of the matzah as well. It's like Trumas and Chulin and all these things burning together. Anyway, people can make comparisons. People can say, hey, well, this is what we did last year, so therefore we've got to do this as well this year. So that is the most important if this first part over here. We see clearly that the Torah Paskins, like the Rambam, of how we get rid of things. He tells us a din about how to do Shalosh Udos. He tells us about, he says, just do it with fruit. He says, Rabbeinu Tam, he brings Rabbeinu Tam, we do it with Matzah Shira. And then he says that even when you get rid of the chametz, you mevatel, first of all, on Shabbos, but you get rid of the chametz on Erev Shabbos before Chatzos, the regular time that you would do it. Then he carries on and he says, Tshuva.
So how does he make a leap from Truma to Chulin?
He hasn't told us. The Beis Yosef will tell us. Okay? Because the Beis Yosef wrote the commentary on the Tur. Okay? The Tur isn't trying to comment on the Gemara and trying to show the source of how he got to those halachas. He writes things just very concise. This is how we do, this is how we do, this is how we do. Then he continues and he says, Tshuva l'adoini ovi harashzah. A tshuva from my father, the Rosh. The Rosh was, of course, one of the three pillars of the Shulchan Aruch. He was the father of the Tur. Yaakov, Rabbeinu Yaakov was the Balaturim. He's known most for the Balaturim, right? But he's actually the, I mean, in the world, I mean, he's the father, the master of the Tur of the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur which was the foundation for Shulchan Aruch. He writes as follows. He says, "Shesha Alta, this that you asked." Says, I'm at the bottom of the page over here. This that you asked over here. Yudalet shechal yis b'shavos. When 14th falls out in Shabbos. Im yochol loymer la'akum lehoylich ha'mapa v'akairos chutz lebayis. Someone had asked him a question, and that was, when the 14th falls out in Shabbos, can you ask a non-Jew to take the tablecloth and the plates and all these things outside of the house? We're talking about a place where there's no Eruv. He says, so that was the shayla that was asked. And this is going to become very relevant. What do you do with your leftover chametz? It's like, I couldn't eat it all. What must I do? How do you get rid of it? He says, lo yodano. He says, I don't know. Why do you need to take it all outside of the house? What you should do is shake out the tablecloth. Wipe down the pots really well with your finger. And hide them away. Set them aside with the other chometz kalim which you are putting away for Pesach. Lock it away. He says, you don't need to get any goy to come in and to take anything out. You can wipe it down with your finger, and you are and you can just shake off the tablecloth onto the floor. Because not telling you to shake it on into the outside. Because then again, you're going to have that issue. How does that help, by the way? So you see, the Beis Yosef will comment. Beis Yosef will tell us, how does it help? Imagine telling someone today, after your house is completely Pesachtik, you know what you did? Just take your chametz, your tablecloth, just shake it onto the floor. It's all good. We'll see that min hadin, that's actually fine. It's actually fine. Because you're talking about little, very small crumbs, which are completely bottled, which people walk all over. And therefore, it's considered to be completely cancelled out. Now, let's go to page 3.
People are so lovely about these.
100%. The Shulchan Aruch and the Torah and the Beis Yosef tells us the Iker hadin, the law itself. But today we are machmir in so many, many different ways. Yeah, we are. So the Beis Yosef as follows. First of all, the Beis Yosef needs to explain to us how we learned this piece of Gemara. How the Torah got to this halacha and how the Rambam got to this halacha, which says that chulin you get rid of, that all foods you get rid of on Erev Shabbos, and you leave over from what you need for Shabbos, two meals. He says as follows. Nearly, I'm skipping the top two paragraphs over here because that's the end of the piece of the Torah, but it's not relevant for us over here. Nearly, it appears to me, the heart of Amar Rabbi Lozer Ish Bar Toisa, exactly as Gil said before. This that Rabbi Lozer Ish Bar Toisa said, Mevarin es hakol melifne haShabbos, when he said we get rid of everything before Shabbos, Achulin nami koi. He's referring to Chulin as well. So again, turn back the page. When he said over here, in this piece in the Gemara, Mevarin es hakol melifne haShabbos, don't put a comma over there, put a full stop. You get rid of everything before Shabbos. That means absolutely everything before Shabbos. And that refers to everything. Then he continues and he says, by the way, when it comes to Truma, you burn the Truma. You burn Truma's tmeyos, tluyos, taros. Then he says, Umesharin mehem, we leave from them, mozen shtei su'udois, they're enough for two meals. As it says, that we leave over, just as it says that we leave over from Trumos, from Truma, two meals, we leave over from this two meals. Good, can read it that way, right? So it's not a colon, as I said before, that we get rid of everything, colon, now, what is it? It's Truma, no, it's not. It doesn't work like that. We get rid of everything, full stop. All Truma, everything. We leave over from that which we got rid of, we leave over enough for two meals. Just like you leave over from Truma, you leave over from Chulin. Here's the complication. How do we read the Mishnah? Right? What did the Mishnah say again? The Mishnah said, let's look back at the Mishnah. When the 14th falls out on Shabbos, we get rid of everything before Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Chachamim say, bizmanoi, in its right time. Rabbi Lez Batzodek said, Truma before Shabbos and Chulin in its time. Let's see how he explains that. He says, v'hod itnan. This that we learned in the Mishnah. By the way, this is the end of a long piece in the Beis Yosef to come to this maskana. So he's proven that this has to be the case. It says, V'hod itznan b'perek eilu ovrin. This that we learned in Perek Eilu Ovrin, which was the first Mishnah that we saw over here. Which says, Mevarin es hakol milifne haShabbos. that we get rid of everything before Shabbos. When it says, when Rabbi Meir says we get rid of everything before Shabbos, he means Hainu beloy shir kla. According to Rabbi Meir, you have to go completely Pesach dik from Erev Shabbos. You don't leave over anything. Sharei loy niska shum shir bitvorov. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Just again, keep referring back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, Bavarin is hakol milifna Shabbos. Read it as it's read. Literally. It means absolutely everything. Don't leave over anything. He's not telling you to starve. He's telling you to go Pesach dik. Go completely Pesach dik, 100% on Erev Shabbos.
So what would you eat then?
Huh?
In the world of Rabbi
Meir. Good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure as to what kind of thing you'd eat. It's very likely on Friday night you'd be able to eat matzah. Yeah, matzah. And very shaykh, Rabbi Meir, you can have matzah shira in the morning. Yeah? You can have matzah shira. By the way, there's other matzahs we'll learn about as well. Other kind of things which are also, you're not yotzei the chiyuv of achilas matzah, like boiled. Remember we're learning about boiled matzah and things like that. So that you can possibly be fine for your suit as well. Sorry? Good question. So we'll learn about that when we see some of the things. Big Shaila, matzah shira, what's the bracha? It would be mezonos. The thing is that if you koveya your suda on it, then it's hamotzi. And here you're talking about koveya your Shabbos suda. There's no bigger thing than being koveya suda. The post can all ask that. They ask the question over here. But let's see. Okay, so he continues. So according to Rabbi Meir, it means you get rid of everything. The Chachamim who say that you do it bizmanon. Sorry, I didn't turn the page up. The Chachamim oimrim bizmanon. The Chachamim, right over here. The Chachamim who say that you do it that bizmanon in its time. What they're referring to? Pirush. They're saying, mevarin es hakol lifnei Shabbos. We agree that we get rid of everything before Shabbos. Chutz mimashet tzrichin lishtei sudas, except that which we need for the two meals, because we disagree with you, Rabbi Meir. We don't think that you get rid of everything before Shabbos. You get rid of everything but except for the two meals worth. How do we know the two meals? Because you've got to match this Mishnah with the Braisa from Rabbi Loza Ish Bar Toisa, right? Which is the Chacham, that's everyone's opinion. Chutz mimashit zichin l'shtei surahs, shemashayin noise lecho b'Shabbos, we leave it over to eat on Shabbos, b'im yoyser mimashit shiru, and if there's anything left over from what you left over for Shabbos, yivaru oisoi, that you get rid of, bizmanoi. That's what he means, bizmanoi. Bizmanoi is not referring to all your chametz that you have in your house. Bizmanoi is referring to what you left over for Shabbos. That which you left over for Shabbos, you get rid of, bizmanoi. That's what he's referring to. He carries on, and he says, huh? Correct. V'chein, he says, Masha omer Rabbelezer batzodek, that which Rabbelezer batzodek says, chulin bizmanon. When he says truma before Shabbos, chulin bizmanon, what's he referring to? It doesn't mean all chulin. He's talking about your leftover chulin. Hu beinyan zet, in the same way. Shemavarin oison me'erev Shabbos, that you get rid of it all on Erev Shabbos. U'mesharim ozlin shtei sudas, and you leave over for two meals. V'hanoisar mehem, and that which is left over from that. Mevarin oison bizmanoi, that you get rid of bizmanoi in its time. Dehainu b'Shabbos, which is on Shabbos. Good shot, right? And that, when you learn it that way, the Braisa in Daf Mem Tes and the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, all these places, sorry, the other way around, they match and it really perfectly works together. Rabbi Loza Ish Bar Toisa and Rabbi Lez Rabbi Tzadok, they're all saying the same thing. Get rid of everything before. Truma, for sure. Don't leave over, it sounds like don't leave over too much at all of anything, but get rid of everything before. However, leave for yourself enough for two meals. If you're a kohen, leave over some truma for two meals. If you are not a kohen, then leave over chulin from two meals. When it says bizmanoi, we get rid of it. It means that which you left over, you've got to get rid of it bizmanoi. So we're learning here. That's where we get to the halachas. We've got to get rid of everything. We've got to do bedikas chometz. We've got to do bi'chometz on Erev Pesach. We've got to also do bitul on Pesach itself, right? Because you've got to be mavar. And anything that you leave over, you've got to get rid of then as well. Truma on Shabbos, so it would probably also, you'd probably also have to scatter it in some kind of way. Yeah, some kind of way you'd have to scatter it. Or try to eat it up, right? I mean, eating it up would be the best thing. When you, that's why it's Misharin Shtei Surahs. They want you to leave dafka for two meals and not to have a problem of a little bit more. The Shulchan Aruch, I mean, the Torah already starts to address the issue of what happens if you have a little bit more. And the Shulchan Aruch will get into that, and the Poskim will talk about that, when you've got more left over. Particularly when it comes to, we'll see in the Poskim with regards to Mekomot Sipurim, when you've got like hotels and places like that. What do they do then? What does our hotel do? Well, you got a lot of people coming for Pesach. Do they not have? Well, this year maybe there'll be less Pesach programs, right? But what do they do? You can't just tell the guests, well, you know what? On Shabbos you got very, very little. So this we'll see. There's five different options of things that they four main options of things that they could do. Many rely on their go to a Sephardi hotel. You have your matzah ashira. You have your egg matzah in that because they don't want to get it. How do they get rid of huge quantities of chametz that they have? Yeah. Now he understands that brisa is understood quite easily. He says, "Mevarin asakol milifne Shabbos." Full stop. Get rid of everything before Shabbos, right? Then, with regards to truma, you burn everything, but you leave over for two meals. And when you say that you leave over for two meals, it refers to truma and the chulin. Why would you only leave over? Why would only a kohen be allowed to have two meals on Shabbos, but not anyone else? Obviously, it refers to everyone. Huh? Yeah, no, it's obvious. By Joseph, understand that quite simply. Where?
The Mishnah on
the
top, source one.
Where? Truma milifne haShabbos. Yeah.
But then, according to
So Rabbi Lezer Batzalik Omer, no, he holds that get rid of, he says, don't play around with truma, get rid of all your truma.
So
he's arguing a little bit on that Inyan, on that Inyan. Yeah. Yeah, that's how many one. That's how Beis Yosef wants to explain.
By
Chulin, yeah, yeah.
Two suddas,
correct.
Okay,
correct.
So arguing on
yeah, that. Yeah. Now let's look at some of the other things, the comments of the Beis Yosef. Again, the Beis Yosef is commenting on the pieces of the Torah. So he writes as follows. So, Masha Kosav Rabbeinu. This is that our teacher, referring to the Torah. This is that the Torah wrote, Shebokim Belel Shlosha Osor, that you check on the night of 13. We'll see this will flow quite quickly. But again, this will be the source for the dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. Where do we get this? Where did he get this din from? Ken Kosav Rambam, the Perek Gimel. The Rambam wrote this in Perek Gimel, in Hilchos Chometz Matzah, or Poshetu. He says it's obvious that you've got to check on the night of 13th. Even according to the opinion in the Gemara, which said that you don't get rid of things before Shabbos, right? They would also hold that you have to check before Shabbos. Why? Now think about it. Why can't I go check on Friday night? What's the problem with going to check for the Chometz on Friday night?
Can't see.
Well, you have to check with the candle. Or what's the problem with moving a candle?
Yeah.
Okay. Shara Belel Shabbos Einem Yicholim Letalta Aner Kedei Livdo. Because on the night of Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the candle in order to go and check.
Why do you need to move the candle? You pre-light the candle.
No, because the point is, you have to check Bechoris Ustokim. That's the main thing. You have to check into the nooks and crannies. And that you can only do with the candle. That's mamish, that's the takana of Chazal of how we have to check for the chometz. So that kind of thing, you can't be matalta. You can't carry it on Shabbos. Okay, so the proper way is therefore check the night before. We're going to see that this is going to become a very important little issue over here. Because what happens if someone forgot to check for the chometz on the night of the 13th? You forgot then, night of the 13th. When do you check? Can you check on Friday night? And you can start to say, well, hold on a second. Moving, okay, checking for the chometz is like a mitzvah's assay of the Rabbanan. Not moving a candle on Shabbos is a lois assay of the Rabbanan, right? The assay maybe pushes away the lois assay. It goes into a whole hakira whether the dinim of assay pushing away lois assay applies to things the Rabbanan as well. It's a long prima god who talks about that kind of thing. But we'll get into that. We'll see.
Even though muksa is a strong
Rabbanan? Okay, muksa is a strong Rabbanan. Good point. Very good point. Okay, and that you'll see the Steichem is going to mention there.
In Abdallah, on that Shabbos, after that Shabbos, you would rely on electricity. Why wouldn't you be able to...
Havdalah? You rely on candles.
No, but then you go into Pesach.
Are you talking about Pesach? Yeah, we're talking about on the Friday night. On the Friday night.
No, so in terms of Abdallah, from the Friday, from the Saturday going to the Saturday.
Night, yeah, yeah.
Rely on the electricity to say Havdalah. Why would you be able to rely on the
electricity? Why electricity? You light a candle from a candle, right? When you make Havdalah on a Moitzei Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, so then you light your Shabbos candles, and you just look at those and you use those as your. But then it's Yom Tov as well. Yom Tov, you're allowed to move a candle. You're allowed to light a candle from a pre-existing candle as well. And so then it's a little bit different. Here we're talking about on Friday night itself. So why not? He says because Ani Micholim Natalto, I know you can't move it. What about asking a goy to do it? What about asking a goy to light a candle for you? But he says, quite simply, we don't do it. It will become important with regards to someone who forgot to do it. So then he continues. Yeah, you will see. Yeah. If there's a shvus, the shvus b'mach mitzvah. Mashakosav Rabbeinu, the Su'udah Shlishis Man Achra Mincha. Now he says, he said that Su'udah Shlishis is after Mincha. He says, yes, that's the proper time. Kfar Nisbar B'Simon Reish Tzadik Aleph. Now you'll see, the Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us that. But this is again this is the basis for all of this. Mishnah Berurah will tell us that there are people who what they do is that they split their morning meal into two parts, and thereby they win themselves a Su'udah Shlishis. Okay? Even though, but the Torah, the Beis Yosef doesn't say that. He says the proper time for Su'udah Shlishis is dafka in the afternoon, after Mincha. When he says after Mincha means afternoon. And then he says, Mashikosav Rabbeinu Tam Hoyenoy Glasos of Matzah Ashira. They said he says that Rabbeinu Tam would make it with Matzah Ashira. Kain Kosva Toisvus. That's what Toisvus writes in the beginning of the Perek Arba Psochim. Baharosh Perek Arba Psochim. Vim Oisus Su'udah Shlishis by Matzah Ashira. Now he says, by the way, even if you are following like the Mechaber and you are doing and making using a Matzah Ashira, Torah Lasos the Kodim Shah series, you have to do it before the 10th hour. The Mishon Va'elach, meaning up to the end of 9 hours in today. The Mishon Va'elach also lecho pas, because from then onwards you're not allowed to eat bread. Kamoshi's probably simin top ayin aleph. There's a separate issue, and that is you're not allowed to eat bread. You're not allowed to have something quite heavy late in the afternoon, because otherwise you won't want to eat matzah l'te'ovon. The same thing applies on Erev Sukkos as well. This that he says that this was Rashi's practice as well. He means it was Rashi's practice, not that Rashi didn't eat matzah ashira. But it means levaya rakol lifnei Shabbos, to get rid of everything before Shabbos. V'lo ilecho matzah. He did not eat to have any kind of matzah. Hinig means not only that he did this, but he actually instructed others to do that. K'dei she'yocho oiso b'laylo l'te'ovon, to that it should be eaten in the night l'te'ovon with an appetite. Pirush, what he means to say is, Shaloi Toimar, I don't want you to say that Yivar kol chomes milipna Shabbos v'lo yishar klum, that get rid of all. You mustn't say that, you know what we'll do. Let's just get rid of it. Let's do like Rabbi Meir. Let's get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. Not leave over anything. And you know what we'll do? On Shabbos we'll eat matzah. He's pointing out, the Torah is telling us, in just in brief words, every word is important here, why you can't do that. Because then on the night of Pesach, you're not going to eat it with an appetite. And then he carries on. He says, and don't ask the question, get rid of everything before Shabbos. Save yourself all these problems. Don't leave over anything. And on Shabbos, just eat matzah ashira, according to those who allow it. He says, since not all people are able to make matzah ashira, therefore, that's why the rabbis were not matriach people. They didn't bother people to go and do that. He's asking, well, why didn't the Chacham say on this Shabbos, this is the way to do it? He says, because it's Matzah Shira, they don't want people to bother themselves to have to go and do that.
Matzah Shira has to be also 18 minutes or less.
No. That's the point. Matzah Ashira doesn't rise. Matzah Ashira, when instead of putting in water, you put in wine or eggs, whatever, you put in other things, so then it's not going to... It doesn't rise. That's the halacha. But again, it's according to Minig Ashkenaz, the Rambam says, we don't have matzah ashira. Says the Masha Kosov, I'm on Beis over here. This that he wrote, again, he's commenting on each piece. This that he says, V'toiv l'var be'erev Shabbos kodim chatzois, that we get rid of it on Erev Shabbos kodim chatzois, even though that you've still got many hours to eat it. saying Kain Kosova Mordechai, but so Perakama brings all the sources. That's what the Mordechai writes. Vizel Shoina, he says, Hinig Rashi. The source of this is from the Mordechai, who writes and says, Hinig Rashi, Rashi made it the custom, Kishachar Bosalis, Bishabas, Lister of Chomet Be'erev Shabbos, when the 14th fell out in Shabbos, to burn the Chomet before Shabbos, Kodim Chatzos. Why? Gezeira Shemayasha Oysel Shona Habo Achar Chatzos. It's a Gezeira decree. Maybe next year you're going to do the same thing. So far, and therefore you have to burn it shalai yachli for sharshonim so you don't mix up with other years. The kaim alon, then be chometz ela streifa, that we, the only way to get rid of chometz is with streifa. Now why then did the Torah not write the word that you burn the chometz? He just said you mevar the chometz. It's interesting. It says, v'rabbeinu hichlev loshen streifa b'loshen biur. The reason that he mixed up the word streifa for biur is, it's just a side point. Biur is a general word which means to get rid of. It doesn't tell you how. Is because mishum d'loy brira lei ihuchas of Rabbi Yehuda oike chachamim, whether the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda the chachamim. There's a major machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim, comes up a number of times in Pesachim, and that is how do you get rid of the chometz? Rabbi Yehuda says ein bir chometz ela shreifa. The only way is by burning it. The chachamim say that you can either you can crumble it up and throw it into the sea as well, or throw it into the wind. The Torah doesn't paskin like either way. He doesn't pick either Rabbi Huda or the Chachamim or Rabbi Shimon or the Chachamim. Therefore, he just says you've got to get rid of it, keeping it quite vague. Whichever way you're going to get rid of it, but you do that on erev Shabbos before Chatos. Now then he says the biyom umashikos the biyom Shabbos yivatol. But then on Shabbos itself you're mevatol chometz. Yeah, we do that. On Shabbos itself, before this man, we read that declaration. We say, Kochamira v'chamira. And we don't do that when we actually burn the chometz. Why are we doing that? He says, Poshetu. It's obvious. Mitam shenis bar, v'simon tof lamadalet. Based on what we said in Simon tof lamadalet. Duloi sagi b'bitul delayla. It's not good enough. The same way that on a regular Erev Pesach, this past year, regular Erev Pesach. The night before, when we check for the chometz, and we also say, do bitul. But we still do bitul again when we burn the chametz. Why? It's not good enough just for the bitul in the night. Lufi shechoyzer v'zoicha b'pas sheshir l'machole. Because when you go and you eat the food afterwards, you are once again being zoicha in it. You're once again holding it and taking it for yourself. So your bitul that isn't really of substance. And therefore you want to show that you really are mafkir the chametz. And you really are mevato the chametz. And therefore, that you've got to, and that's why you've got to be mevatel the chometz after. V'yesh lochush shemo yishar b'menu b'bayis v'yapar alav. And therefore, maybe you left something in the house and you're going to be over on it. Remember, by doing bitul, by being mevatel the chometz, you are ensuring that you're not over on the isur of the Torah of bal yeroi bal yemotza. Bitul causes that the chometz isn't yours. You only transgress the Isser of Chometz, or by Yeroah, by Yomotz, of not seeing or not owning the Chometz, if it's yours. But this isn't yours. However, we have to check for the Chometz anyway. You're not allowed to have any Chometz which is visible because you might come to eat it. That's a separate thing. So let's jump for a second. I want to, the next couple of pieces are important. We can come back to that. And that's with regards to when you've got leftover Chometz, what the Rosh said, what to do with that Chometz. Where he told his where he said, right in the name of his father, that he said that that you can just shake it off onto the ground. The reason for that, just very briefly, is he says because first of all you're talking about very small crumbs which are less than the size of a kazayit, and when you put it onto the ground, people are walking all over it, and therefore it's not counted as anything. That is the greatest bitul that you can have of anything. It's not people step all over it, and therefore they are mizbarim me'alehen. They get lost on their own by people walking all over it, and therefore he says, do it in that way. I just mentioned this outside. He brings from the cowboy, which we'll see this in the halach and Shulchan Aruch as well. And that is that on this Shabbos we don't cook food. We shouldn't cook anything that's going to require us to wash the pot, because there's another issue over here. And the issue is that you can't wash the pot on Shabbos for the next day. But at the same time, you have to wash the pot because you've got chometz. So what do you do? Therefore, don't cook daisa. Don't cook daisas like porridge. Don't cook sticky things, things that are going to stick to the pot, which is going to be difficult for you to get rid of. And as we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah is going to write that the minhag Yisrael is not to cook chometz on this Shabbos. How then do you have a hot meal? Okay, some say you dafka have to have a hot meal on Shabbos. on the Shabbos morning as well, not just in the nighttime. We'll see some solutions for that as well in the post game. Yes.
Shabbos?
Huh?
What do you mean cooking on Shabbos? Don't cook porridge when?
On Erev Shabbos. For the Shabbos. Because then you've got to have this stuck in the pot. What are you going to do with that?
And you can't clean it and it's going
to
be in the pot.
On the one hand, you've got to clean it because of chametz, right? On the other hand, you can't clean it because you can't prepare on Shabbos for the chol, right? For the weekday. You're not cleaning it for that day. Anytime you're not allowed to wash a pot on Shabbos for Moitz Shabbos, for afterwards. You can't wash for something which you're not using on that day itself. So you're going to be very stuck with that.
What?
So that is the... Sorry? Sorry?
What if you're cleaning out the Shem Mitzvah?
It doesn't necessarily help. Okay, so the Asama say, if you actually dafka have, we'll see it in the halacha, because Shulchan Aruch will bring this. If you actually have got something left over, so then there is room to be able to be making certain aspects of hachana. Of being preparing on Shabbos for
chol. Similar to throwing away the chametz that you do have, wouldn't it be? Because that's also hachana, because you're doing something for the next day.
Well, that's for that day itself, right? Because you can't have it just a couple of hours later.
So same with the food that you've cooked.
Yeah, in a certain aspect, in a certain sense, it's like that. In a certain sense, but this is it's someone who wants to use that pot. Only he wants to use it on Pesach. Remember, people didn't own a set of Pesach cutlery and non-Pesach cutlery and all that kind of thing. So the truth is, that is the basis. All that we've done now, we've done the groundwork. Now we get into a lot of the specifics. The specifics starts off actually not in Simon Tov Mem Dalet. So Simon Tov Mem Dalet is the Simon which deals with all these things. This Torah is Torah Tov Mem Dalet. But before that, actually, we've got to know what to do with something like Tainus of Bechoros. So I'm in the middle of page 4. I'm just going to, let's just look at this and we'll stop in a moment. Tainus Bechoros. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. We know that there is this concept that the firstborn's fast. Says the Shulchan Aruch, yeah, this is in Simut Tov Ayin. He says, Chala Erev Pesach for Shabbos. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, Yesh Oimrim Shemis Anim HaBechoros B'yom Hay. Some people say that the Bechoros should fast on the Thursday. And some people say that they shouldn't fast at all. And the Mishnah Berurah gives both sides to it. He explains. Why should you fast on the Thursday? Because it's not, since it's not its day anyway, so they pushed it back till Thursday. Similar to with Purim and Tainus Esther, pushed back to Thursday. By the way, if Pesach is on a Friday night, then Tainus Bechoros is on the Friday, because that's the day. But yeah, anyway, it's not the right day, because Shabbos, obviously, there's no fasting. So it's pushed back till Friday. So then it's not the day anyway, we push it back till Thursday. The Mishnah Berurah just points out, he says, if it's hard, if it's difficult for people to fast on the Thursday, and to hold it, we actually had something similar just a few days ago. He says, the din is that you're not allowed to eat before Bidikas Chometz. So someone who's fasting on the Thursday, and then they're going to check for the Chometz on the Thursday night, so what should they, and they're very, very hungry, and now they're not going to check for the chametz properly because they just want to get to the food. He says, better to taste something before you check for the chametz and then to go and check for the chametz. He says, what's the svara of not to fast at all? He says, again, the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions. Some people say you don't have to fast at all in this year. The reason is because since this whole fast is only a minhag, and it's already been pushed off from its correct day. The correct day is Shabbos. It's pushed off to Friday. Therefore, it's already kivan de nidcha yidache, since it's already been pushed off, we push it off all the way. The Ramah says, I'm just finished this one second. The Ramah says, Avol yesh lino kisvara harishona. The Ramah says that our custom is to do like the svara harishona, like the first opinion, and that is that we fast on the Thursday. Okay. Now, the Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, has a shaila. He has a chakira. Interesting chakira. His chakira is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about people who actually do it properly. The way to do it properly is to fast. He's not talking about us who make a siyum. How many people do you know? I'm a Bukhar. I've never fasted on Erev Pesach, right? How many people? We make a siyum, right? How many people do you know who actually fast the whole time? I mean, there were people who are Bukhar and also made a siyum, but the proper way, it's a way to get out of it, is that you make a siyum and we can be maker with it in that kind of way. So he has a question. He says as follows. This is all written about people who are actually fasting. But when it comes to people who make a siyum, so what is the proper day to make a siyum? And it really goes into Chakira with regards to, we'll start with this tomorrow. It goes into Chakira as to when they move the fast from a Friday to the Thursday, really it's meant to be Shabbos. They moved it to the Friday. Okay, but now enough people can't fast on Friday, so move it to Thursday. Everyone agrees you don't fast on the Friday. The question is whether you've got to fast at all. So the Ramah says you do it on Thursday. Doesn't mean that they took it away from Friday and put it completely on the Thursday. And that means that Thursday is the proper day. So if you want to get out of fasting, you've got to do your siyum on the Thursday. Or is it the proper day is still Friday? Just that you can't fast on a Friday. So you've got to be mashlim, you make up the fast on the Thursday. But if you can get out of the fast in the way that you usually do, then you've got to make a siyum on the Friday. So he says, what should you actually be doing? And we'll see, therefore, there are some who say that even though the proper day, it's the Thursday, and therefore you make your siyum on the Thursday, but there are some who say, Rav Moshe Shtemach and Shuvas Van Ogus, we'll bring it over here, he says that Yesh Medaktikin, there are people who are precise, who make a siyum on both days. Okay, so you've got to finish a Masechta two times, and make a siyum on the Thursday and on the Friday, and thereby, you get out of this whole suffix. But it's an interesting one. So we'll talk about that, and we'll get into about people who forgot to check for the chametz. We'll talk about Lechem Mishnah, using matzah on the night. And then we'll get into some very practical solutions as to what you actually do with your meals and how you get rid of your chametz at the last moment. What happens if someone woke up late on Shabbos? What can you do for Suda Shlishis at the end of the day? And a few other things. Mr. Shabbos, we'll see you tomorrow. Shkoyach for joining. Sorry, you had a question. Swan, let me just log off over here. Shkoyach to everyone who joined on Zoom as well.
The last word on Shabbos.